chapter has to do with words and speaking and the tongue. So we hear God's word, Proverbs 12, and then we'll turn to Lord's Day 43 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the nut of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. As far as we read the word of God, may God bless the reading of his word. Lord's Day 43. Page 24. And I would like to take a moment to point to the ninth commandment, Deuteronomy 5. And verse 20. Neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. And the Heidelberg Catechism explains that commandment by asking what is required in the ninth commandment, and then giving this answer, that I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter nor slanderer, that I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit, as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings I love the truth. Speak it uprightly and confess it. Also that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor." This morning, beloved, we are called to think about the righteous use of our mouths in relation to the neighbor. The third commandment calls us to think of the righteous use of our mouths in relation to God. We may not take the name of God in vain, but we must speak to the honor and the glory of God. But we find here in the ninth commandment that the Christian may not say, "I'm only concerned about the truth and about God." The Christian must also be concerned about truth and love for the neighbor. God is able to say whatever He wants. God never wants sin. So He will never have to fear if He says something that He will say something unrighteous. God never makes a judgment based on ignorance, that is, a lack of knowledge. God always knows all things. Therefore, God never has to be concerned that He may make a rash judgment. God, being God, does not have to measure up to the standard of anyone else in His speech. He cannot be a fool or speak foolishly. Now, why do I say all of that? In order to remind us this morning, we are not God. We do have to make sure that our tongues, the words of our mouth, measure up to a standard set by someone else, by God. We are capable of speaking sinfully, judging rashly, and of being and speaking as fools. When we read in the Proverbs a contrast between fools and wise people, we thank God that we, and we're going to see that in the sermon, we have been delivered from folly and that we have been given salvation and the gift of wisdom in Jesus Christ. But we recognize, don't we, that often when the proverb is describing the fool, his heart, his speech, his activities, that's describing us. We can look through the scriptures when we're looking at the descriptions of what fools say and do, and we can say, you know, Moses did that once. And David did that once. And Peter did that once. So have I. We are capable of being foolish in our speech. And so we need to hear the Word of God giving us instruction in the use of the tongue. And, beloved, the importance of that is known to us not only in the fact that we know that we live in a world full of lies. We live in a culture of deceit, and not only in deceit in the sense that people speak lies and they don't tell the truth, but we know that we live in a culture where the ninth commandment is violated in that speech is used in hatred. Hatred for the neighbor. We would agree, wouldn't we, that this characterizes politics. This characterizes Twitter and Snapchat and Facebook and all the rest. So we need instruction on the ninth commandment. But the importance of the subject, beloved, is not highlighted merely by the world in which we live that's full of lies, but highlighted by the Word of God. I didn't do an analysis of this. I don't have data to show this to you. But while I was preparing for the sermon this morning, it was suggested that the use of the tongue, the foolish and the wise use of the tongue, is the biggest subject in the book of Proverbs. So that when God comes in the ninth commandment and says, I want you to use your tongue righteously, He's addressing a subject that is very close to His heart. And this is what He wants for His people, His disciples who follow after Jesus. Don't bear false witness. Don't lie. Don't hate your neighbor. Love God. Love the neighbor in your use of your tongues. Now, if there's one thing that I would highlight, especially in the light of Proverbs 12 this morning, it's this. Pause. I don't say stop. You and I must communicate. We are called to use our God-given tongues for good. But I do say pause. Do we not live in a busy world full of communication that we sometimes describe as instant and probably would be more accurate to say constant and rash or unthinking communication? Instant, constant, and immediate. I'm going to say it as soon as I think it. I'm going to type it, text it, as soon as I think it. There is a three-step process, I believe, that Proverbs 12, which is the wisdom of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, to follow. And speaking is third. First, think. Think about God. Think about your neighbor. Second, wouldn't this be a novel thing in our world today? Listen, listen, listen. Listen to God. Listen to other people. And then thirdly, speak. Only not just speak after you've listened and you've thought, but sometimes maybe even conclude after thinking and listening, I'm not going to speak. That's wisdom, beloved. And what God holds out before us in the ninth commandment, remember, He comes and says, now this is what you are to do, not to become my people and to be the disciples of Jesus Christ, but as my people, and because I have made you the disciples of Jesus Christ, I want you to use your tongues for wisdom. So let's consider this morning, beloved, the tongue of the wise. That comes from verse 18 here in Proverbs 12. First of all, its character. Secondly, its use. Before you use it, you need to know the character of the tongue of the wise. And then thirdly, we consider its reward. So verse 18 speaks of the tongue of the wise. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. And this verse is telling us something about the use of the tongue. In the first part of the verse, you understand, implied is that this is the fool. There's the tongue of the wise in the second part of the verse, but the first part of the verse, there is the fool that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. The fool is using his tongue to stab, to kill, to wound, the piercing of a sword. The wise, he uses his tongue in a different way to heal, to build up. But the second part of the verse isn't only telling us what the tongue does, but is telling us the character of the tongue of the wise. The first question for you this morning then is not this: do you have many sins to confess? And we all do, of course. Have you been using your tongue like a fool? Have I been using my tongue like a fool? Or have you been using your tongue as a wise person, a wise man, a wise woman. The first question is this. What tongue do you have? And now you don't need to go to a doctor and say, when I say ah, look at my tongue. Tell me what kind of a muscle I have. We all have the same kind of physical tongue, the foolish man and the wise man. But what's the spiritual character of your tongue? Do you have the tongue of a fool? Or do you have the tongue of a wise man or woman? In the ninth commandment, when you are told, do not bear false witness against your neighbor, be careful how you use your tongue. If you have a foolish tongue, you cannot keep the ninth commandment. The only possibility of keeping the ninth commandment is that you have this tongue of the wise. And then what we find out in these Proverbs is that to have the tongue of the wise means that you have to go a little deeper and see that this is not, first of all about what you say, how you use your tongue. This isn't, secondly, just about your tongue, but thirdly, this is about your heart. Verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. But to counselors of peace is joy. The heart. Do you have a foolish heart that controls your tongue so that your tongue is a foolish tongue so that you speak foolishly? Or do you have a wise heart that controls your tongue so that you can say, I have a tongue of the wise so that you speak wisely? The foolish heart, beloved, says there is no God. The foolish heart says, I don't have to honor God. I don't have to honor or care for my neighbor. The foolish heart, then, has nothing but sin that comes from the heart that controls the tongue, so that the tongue is only used for evil. Is that your heart? Now, your tongue might not say there is no God. Your tongue might say, your heart might say, I better not say that with my tongue, because then I will reveal something I don't want to reveal. The heart full of deceit will say, I'll pretend maybe that I love God. But then here's the question. What are you saying by the way you're living? What are you saying by the way that you speak? And if you speak without thinking, if you speak without thinking about God, if you speak without thinking about the neighbor, understand with your tongue, you are saying there is no God. That I have to follow or live up to in my speech. The wise heart begins with this. I fear God. I know there is a God. I know I must love God. I do love Him and my neighbor. And that's how I will use my tongue. But that brings us, beloved, to consider just briefly four characteristics of this wise person who has the tongue of the wise. And first of all, there's humility. Where did my wise heart come from? All my wisdom is from God. By nature, I was a fool. I had a foolish heart. And there's nothing that I could do to remove that heart and overcome that folly. The fact that I have wisdom means that my wisdom came from God. My wisdom came from Jesus Christ. He's the source of all of my wisdom. And therefore I know that I am small before God. And beloved, would you agree with me? There's a character difference between the fool and the wise man. The fool is proud before God. God doesn't mean anything to him. the only one who means anything to him or to her is self. So when you ask yourself, do you have the tongue of the wise? The question is, are you wise in seeing that before God you are small? And then, beloved, this applies. Proverbs 12 makes that plain, doesn't it? To the neighbor. The fool is not only proud over against God, but his attitude is, I'm better than you. Do you have the tongue? Let me back up. Do you have the heart of the wise person who says, I'm not better than God, and I'm not better than anyone else? The tongue of the wise is, first of all, humble. Whatever I have, the wisdom, the salvation, it's from God. The whole book of Proverbs makes that plain. James chapter 1 makes that plain. Wisdom comes from God. So if you say this morning, I have the tongue of the wise, be humble before God. Secondly, be thankful. That flows out of that humility, doesn't it? What is the characteristic of the tongue that is required by the ninth commandment? This, that I'm going to use my tongue in no other way than to show that I'm thankful to my God. That I'm thankful for my salvation. Thankful for the fact that I was a fool on the path of foolishness. That's I'm going to come to that in a moment. Now I'm not seeing it in all of these. Oh, verse 15. The way of a fool. In other words, there is a lifestyle and a pathway of life for the fool. I was on that. And that way ends in destruction. And that way is miserable. But I'm thankful that the Lord has delivered me from that and He has put me on the pathway of the wise. And so thankful I am to God that this is going to control my tongue now. The heart is thankful, and then now the wise tongue will express thanksgiving to God and love for God and the neighbor. That wise tongue is characterized by humble speech, thankful speech, and a sober spiritual speech. All of life is about God. The book of Proverbs focuses on that. All my paths and all my speech is going to be directed to the glory of God. And Jesus says to us, beloved, this is what we have to recognize. Every idle word is going to be judged by God. I have to be very sober. I may not be loose. I may not be careless. I may not be foolish with my use of my tongue. And all is about not just then life on this earth, but all my life is about eternity. And so, beloved, the sober tongue that is spiritually minded, and I know our tongues don't have minds, but you understand what I mean, is going to be governed by a desire to glorify God, but also to seek the good, the spiritual good of the neighbor. And you understand that that means then that the tongue is going to be used for encouragements, for comfort, for saying things that are maybe easy for the neighbor to hear. But sometimes it's going to be used for admonitions, for rebukes, for criticisms. Because what is for the good of that person's soul is important and serious. I'm not going to use my tongue to flatter you, just to make you feel good, even if that's not the truth you need to hear right now. But I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. Because I have a tongue that is not about concerned about you and me only, but about you and your relationship with God. And then fourthly, beloved, this wise tongue or the tongue of the wise is characterized by graciousness. When we remember that God has dealt graciously with us, God has said, "Now you were a fool and you were on the pathway of folly, and in my truth and justice, I could have dealt with you this way. I could have destroyed you. But instead, God says, I'm going to satisfy my truth and justice in another way. I'm going to send Jesus Christ. He's going to come, the one who is the truth, and He is going to bear all of your sins, including all of your lies, your deceits, your wicked speech. And He's going to deliver you from my wrath. I'm going to be then patient with you, gracious with you, kind to you." That doesn't characterize the speech of a fool, does it? The speech of the fool, and sometimes he, even though he's a liar always, sometimes he may defend himself as, "My speech is truth. I'm telling the truth." And sometimes from a certain point of view, you might say, well, that's what he's done. He tweeted the truth. He spoke the truth. But it was aimed to stab, to wound. It was unkind, ungracious. And the proverb is saying, if you have the tongue of the wise, then you're going to think not only about what's true, but what's kind and what's health-giving and uplifting. So, beloved, this is the question for you and me tonight, or this morning. The first question is, have you been gifted a new heart, full of humility and thankfulness, spiritual sobriety and graciousness? Now, if that's what you have in Jesus Christ through the grace of God, you need to take hold of the ninth commandment and say, my tongue needs to be used in the right way. And what I want to do this morning, beloved, is not so much go through what Lord's Day 43 says, although that's covered here, but go through the Proverbs here. Here is wisdom. And beloved, this is Jesus Christ coming, our Savior. He is the wisdom of God. And He is saying, this is not how you need to live in order to save yourselves. No, I have taken care of that for you. But this is how you're to live as those whom I have saved. Verse 15. Well, let me read that. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You say, how does this have to do with my use of my tongue? This has to do with the use of ears, beloved. And what verse 15 is talking about is the way of the fool, where he is using his tongue. It doesn't say that, but when it says that his way is right in his own eyes, he's looking at his life, he's looking at his speech, his use of his tongue, and he's saying, I'm right! I'm right! And who tells him that he's right? He does. He's right in his own eyes. He doesn't have to listen to anybody. He doesn't have to listen to God. He doesn't have to listen to anybody else in the church. Some of these people, beloved, have pulpits. They say whatever is right in their own eyes. They have magazines where they write whatever is right in their own eyes. They aren't listening to God. They aren't listening to other people's input. And you can see it in their speech. The fool opens his mouth right away. He doesn't have to listen. That's one problem. Very characteristic
of our world. But a second problem is he won't even consider that maybe what he believes is true is wrong. And sometimes, beloved, he has been told by counselors, no, you're wrong. But because he's right in his own eyes, he wouldn't listen. And he still speaks and behaves foolishly. I think of Peter in Mark chapter 14. He wouldn't listen to Jesus. He wouldn't. Jesus said, all men are going to abandon me. And Peter said, Lord, though all men abandon you, I will not. Showing he wouldn't listen to Jesus. And then Jesus spoke further to Peter. And he said, Peter, I tell you, Satan wants to sift you. And I tell you, Peter, the rooster will crow three times after you have denied me three times. Peter was right in his own eyes. He would not listen. And that's where he began breaking the ninth commandment, beloved. And then that led to him breaking it further when he lied. That's what he did, didn't he? When he said, I don't know him. So, beloved, this is important for you and me to work on. Think now of your ears in connection with your use of your tongue. And tell yourself what the Belgic Confession says. All men are liars. It's possible that the thing that I think right away and that I want to be right away, it's possible that because I have a perverse heart, I have a sinful nature, that what I'm thinking is wrong. And then, beloved, you and I have to remember there are two things that God has given to us to sanctify us, to help us see our sins and overcome them. One is His own Word. You and I need, in light of the ninth commandment, to be willing to subject whatever we think and whatever we want to say to the truth of God's Word. And when God comes in His Word and says you're wrong about a doctrine or about a desire you have in your life or about a thing you want to say about your neighbor, you and I need to hearken to that counsel. But let's not forget, God has not only given us His Word to sanctify us, He's given us the church, the body of Jesus Christ. And every single one of us is put in the body because we need the other members. And there are many things to say about why we need the other members, but here's one of them. To listen to them. To take their input and not be a respecter of persons. I am me and I'm right, and that other person can't possibly be as intelligent or as spiritual as me. I hope the delegates of classes don't have that attitude Thursday. I hope that the elders never and the deacons never have that attitude in a council meeting. But I hope that none of us have that attitude in our life in the church, and that we're willing even to listen to the youngest among us. That God may sometimes be pleased to use to give us good counsel. Now I want to point out, in light of, I believe it's verse 11, we're not to listen to all counsel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. You and I are in a world surrounded by vain persons. Don't say to yourself, I'm going to stop so that I can listen to the world or to listen to these other foolish people. Stop so you can listen to God and to fellow saints. So, before you speak and use your tongue, beloved, I'm going to say it this way. This is a use of your tongue. Stop it. Restrain it and listen. And then, I'm going to jump to verse 20. We've read this already, but Look at your heart. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. Before you speak, listen, but before you speak, look at your heart. Look at what you're planning. Look at what you're devising. And again, remember the truth that the heart is deceitful, Jeremiah says, and the Belgic Confession then says, all men are liars, and recognize that we may not have the attitude, whatever's in my heart is always right. The sad thing about deceit, beloved, is that there are people who know that they are lying and deceiving others. But there are some people, and I think we face this sometimes too, who are so given to lying that they deceive themselves. You ever had that? Where you confronted somebody with a lie and they deny it. I didn't lie. I told the truth. And then you become frustrated and you think, oh, they're lying. But the reality is that the sinful heart is so stubborn and so given to deceit. Sometimes we do deceive ourselves into thinking that we're telling the truth when we're lying. In other words, we need to examine our hearts in the light of the Word of God again, in light of what other people are saying to us, and make sure that in our hearts we have planned to tell the truth not only, but to glorify God and to build up the neighbor, the men who speak, the counselors of peace are those who have made sure in their hearts, I'm going to speak truth, but not just truth, to the glory of God and for the peace of not only my soul, but my neighbor's soul. So when you think about your tongue, again, beloved, first of all, use your tongue by restraining it. Look, listen to others, look at your heart, and then speak the truth. Verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. And the text is emphasizing not only that you must speak the truth, but that this is your place in the church, in the home, and in the world. That as a Christian, you are to show forth truth so that you're spreading righteousness. This is for the glory of God. My God is a God of truth. My Savior is a Savior of truth. And this is the kind of person that I am now. I promote truth. And then in this verse, the negative part comes second. False witness, deceit. This is how you are not to use your tongue to lie. But now implied here is you're not going to show this forth. This is not how you're going to live publicly before the world. You're not going to be one of those people as God's people who spreads more and more lies in this world of lies. Beloved, what you say in public is going to do one of two things. It's going to be a lie that promotes the cause of the liar and the father of the lie, the devil. Or it's going to be the truth that promotes the cause of our Savior who is the truth. So listen, examine your hearts, and speak the truth in your witness in the world. But then verse 23. The prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. This gets to the point that I made in the introduction, that when you stop and think, what does God want me to say? And you stop and you look in your heart and say, have I determined that whatever I say is going to show that I love God, that I'm thankful to Him? Is whatever I say going to show that I love my neighbor? And then you remind yourself, and whatever I say better be the truth. I better not bear false witness. After you've thought about all of that, you may come to the conclusion, the best thing for me to do right now is to be quiet. I don't have any wisdom here. I don't have anything to contribute here. Or, beloved, the whole matter of being gracious sometimes just has to do with even timing, doesn't it? The fool rushes off to speak his foolishness. The wise man recognizes, the wise woman, the standard for me is much higher than merely speaking truth. I have to think about God and that person. And elders have to do this, but parents have to do this. All of us have to do this sometimes. Think about the other person. If I say it this way, is he going to hear me? Or if I say it even now, is now the time? Is she going to hear me? I want, and this is the key, isn't it? If you don't care about them at all, and you just want to tell the truth so that you can make yourself look good and tear them down, you don't have to think about those things. The fool can just say it. But if you care, and your goal is to glorify God, but now I want this boy, this girl, this human being to be blessed by what I say. And maybe right now I'll be quiet and I'll think about it, pray about it, and wait for the time when it seems to be wise, upbuilding to speak. Beloved, we only have a few moments this morning to look at these things, but I hope that this will help you to say, God has much to say to me about using my mouth. And then take this, Proverbs 12, the ninth commandment, and the rest of Scripture and meditate on it. What does God say to me as a disciple of Jesus Christ about how to use my tongue? But finally, we consider the reward for the tongue of the wise. Verse 13, beloved. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. Isn't that true? Isn't it true that the moment that you lie, you're setting a trap for yourself? And don't you even experience that and feel that in your heart when you lie? You're thinking, now I have to get away with this lie. Because if this lie is ever exposed, I'm in trouble. My reputation is going to take a hit. Somehow I'll get punished, maybe. This is a trap that I've set with my own lips. But the just shall come out of trouble. The just may have trouble sometimes. And there are people who are lying about them, causing them trouble. But then in the long run, it is discovered they've been telling the truth. They come out of the trouble. Verse 21. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Now again, that's not saying in this life the just are not going to have any troubles. There's not going to be any consequences of the fact that people lie about them, persecute them. Sometimes the just even have to admit we have not always told the truth. We need forgiveness for our lies. But the point is that the path of life, of blessing and peace with God and with the people of God, is in the way of telling the truth. And don't we experience this, beloved, in this world in which we live, that the wicked who are telling lies have lives full of mischief and trouble, deceit? And we could do this with every commandment, couldn't we? We could show how every commandment in some way has to do with stealing. We said that last week. Robbing God of His glory, or robbing the neighbor of the love that we owe to that neighbor. But we can see that also with the ninth commandment. The ninth commandment is a part of every sin that people commit against God, but especially against the neighbor. How many people by deceit have led a rebellion in their homes against their parents, or in society against the government? How many people... Every murder, almost every murder involves deceit, doesn't it? Adultery. That sin is full of lies. Stealing. And beloved, what is the result in this world of all the lying going on? Countries, homes, businesses, families, fraught with mischief, misery, hatred, troubles. It's true, isn't it? A man who's known for honesty, his business often thrives. People want to do business with that honest man. A marriage filled with honesty. Now, sometimes there may be hard words, difficult issues to overcome, but that marriage thrives with peace and trust. A congregation where there's no deceit, no movement behind the scenes to get people's way. There's honesty, there's transparency. There's love for God, love for the neighbor, peace. Joy. Verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. The recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Beloved, that's all positive. There's no antithetical thought there, as in many of the other verses, the fool and then the wise. This is all simply God saying it. The way that I call you to live, in the way that I call you to obey me in using the tongue, I'm going to bless you in that way. Verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Beloved, we see that in Acts chapter 5, don't we? And that Ananias and Sapphira came to Peter and they lied to him and to the Holy Spirit, Peter said, and their lives ended in a moment. The way of the devil, the way of lying, slander, backbiting, gossip, is the way of death and judgment. The way of eternal life that God has set us on is the way of honoring the truth and telling the truth. And then finally, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Beloved, the joy of salvation, the joy of knowing God says, I don't hate you, you're not an abomination to me. The joy of experiencing God saying to you, you're my friend, you're in my covenant, and you're my delight. That's experienced, as the last verse says, in the way of righteousness. The way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. Beloved, this is not the way unto fellowship with God. This is not the way unto experiencing the blessings of salvation. This is the way of. You understand that? This is the way of experiencing fellowship with God. God's blessing to you is not simply this: I have delivered you from your sins through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. But God's blessing to you is this: and I am going to put you in relationship with me, where you delight me and I delight you. But now the pathway in which you enjoy that is obedience to me. And now in the ninth commandment, not lying against the neighbor, but speaking the truth in love. God's blessings, He promises us here then in Proverbs 12, don't stop with the forgiveness of sins. Don't stop with giving a new heart. But He blesses you and me with the ability to use our tongues for good. And then He rewards us and says, I delight in you. Let's pray that God will forgive us all the sins we've committed with our tongues for Jesus' sake. Let's pray that God will guard our tongues, that we will avoid evil speaking and speak what is wise and good for His glory, for our neighbor's good, and for our benefit. May He bless us with peace and life. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word unto our hearts, to our lips, for the good of the church, and even for the good of all the people in the world round about us. And may thy name receive all the glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.